coming to you from TGP Studios. It's sunny outside, like 97,000 degrees. Day after July 4th, which would make it July the 5th, 2021. This is In the Know, episode 4. Oh dear. Oh dear. You didn't need that. I didn't either. But these are the kind of things that make this fun, right? No? Okay, I don't care. I've got a few things to get to today. First of all, I had the privilege of going and being at First Baptist Church Dry Prong yesterday. As many of you know, Drew, their pastor, is one of my good friends, and he and I have met just about every Tuesday for the last 5 years. He celebrated, well, almost 4.5 for me, but he celebrated 5 years this week, and he's actually taken another pastoring job back home in Mississippi, and so yesterday was his last day as the pastor of First Baptist Church Dry Prong. So I was able, our whole family went, and we heard his last sermon there and his farewell, you know, last hurrah, and it was fantastic. If you're able to get on Facebook and go listen to that, it's dynamite. He talked about godliness, and that's the legacy that he wanted to leave, and what a great sermon. So I'm grateful to get to be away, but certainly missed many of you, all of you who were there yesterday. I missed being with you all. Let's do a couple of announcements. Can you believe this is episode 4? This is the fourth one. 4 is my favorite number. Maybe I should just stop here. No, I won't. I'm going to keep going. So, new announcements this week. This is fantastic. First of all, we have VBS coming up July the 28th. July the 28th, we will be having VBS, and it's going to go for 3 days. And at the end of that, it's actually going to culminate in this back-to-school bash. That'll be July the 31st. And we'll get times out for those. Here's the thing. We want your children to come, and we want you to come and volunteer. And matter of fact, we need both of those things to happen to have a VBS. This is one of our great outreaches for the community. So we're really hoping to have a high turnout from Wardville, but we also need lots of volunteers. And if you're wondering, well, will there be childcare? Of course there will. It's VBS. Your kids are going to be well taken care of. They're going to be taught the gospel. And so I'm really excited about VBS. We didn't get to do it last year, and I cannot wait. It's always such a good time of serving together and just being the church in a different way than we often are. And so please consider how you can volunteer, not whether or not you should volunteer, as long as you're able to. And just know that there is an online registration for that. You can find that on our Facebook page. As a matter of fact, you can find that in our private TGP Wardville group and on the Gathering Place Wardville main page. So either of those places, you could go there. The next thing is Infuge starts tomorrow. So we're going to have a group here tomorrow and through Thursday, and then the next week as well. So there's 3 things associated with Infuge. First, we need some volunteers to be here from 12 to 4. The reality is I'm planning to be here the whole time, but I am not able to be the point person for all of the projects that are going on. That's all I would do all this week, and I am needing to plan the sermon for next Sunday. So if you're able to, would you reach out to Gina Arnold on that? The second thing, I think Gina mentioned that we need a pressure washer. So if you have a pressure washer that you're willing to let us borrow for the next couple of weeks, then please, by all means, get in touch with Gina. And the third thing is that we're actually having a lunch. We're trying to host all of those staffers, those college students who are going to be here for the next 2 weeks, they're working this camp. They're providing this camp, and they're leading groups here to our site. And so they're going to be here for 2 weeks. So the Sunday in between, we've invited them to church, Emily and I, this is actually how we met. We worked at this camp, at this Fuge camp. She was my boss, if you didn't know that. And so we are going to try to host them on Sunday. And we don't want, we've not told them they need to come to get the lunch, but we're going to feed them and just hopefully minister to them, pray for them, encourage them however we can. So if you want to be part of that, you can also get in touch with Gina and Catherine, and or Catherine. They're handling that. And the last thing, Lauren mentioned this yesterday at the end of the announcement time. If you're going to drop your child off in service, you need to sign in and sign out. And I'm just going to say, Catherine hasn't asked this. It needs to be a parent. Like I have an older child that believes that she's a mother. She doesn't need to go get our children from their class, even if she thinks that she can. So have those conversations with your children. If they're older, you can't go get your sister, your brothers from class. Mom or dad needs to sign in and mom or dad needs to sign out. And it needs to happen quickly after service so that the people upstairs can do their checklist of cleaning and stuff and close down class and get out. So there is that. Now, since I didn't preach yesterday, that means I didn't spend a whole lot of time studying Genesis 14. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Oh, just kidding. Again, I didn't. I stayed at my house in Bentley. But I do have a couple of things that I want to bring out and highlight from Chris's sermon yesterday. And this will be fairly quick. The announcements were longer this week, but this is going to be fairly quick. Just 2 points here. So the first thing that I want to talk about is Genesis 14 and world history. Now, I thought Chris made a wonderful point in yesterday's sermon. And I don't say, the way that I said that probably sounds like, and you didn't. No, but that's not how that works. I thought he made a wonderful point. He actually made a number of good points, but I think there's one that we could stand to hear again. He mentioned that world history is basically the box in which the gift of the gospel is presented. And in saying this, Chris put both world history and the gospel in their proper places in our minds. And so I'm really grateful for that, and I think he's spot on. It's similar to the point that Dale Davis makes in his commentary on Genesis 12 through 25, and it's called Faith of Our Father. Now, by the way, if you don't know who Dale Davis is, he's pretty much my favorite scripture commentator. You should definitely read some of what he's written. It's witty, convicting, encouraging, incisive, and it's never dull. And he makes the point, and he does it better than I have time for, longer than I have time for. I'm just going to give a small quote, but he makes the point that we need, the believer needs to view world history, we need to view our lives through this biblical lens. All of the intricacies of world history are in reality background to the most important thing that God is doing. So let me just share an extended quote from him. He says this, "Put in the right perspective, Kedorlaomer and Amraphel and Washington, D.C. and Putin and Beijing and the Pentagon and the United Nations are merely the background of history. God's premier attention is ever on Abraham's family. They are not swallowed up in politics, lost amid scandals, or smothered under the helpless diplomacies and summits of governments and nations. Though they don't make People magazine or the evening news, God's mind and His story always seem focused on wherever His people are. So what matters is what happens among Abram's family. What counts is when a father who belongs to Abram's seed sits down on the edge of his 8-year-old's bed, goes over a shorter catechism question and answer with him, illustrates and explains the answer, and then prays with the lad before he puts him to bed. What matters is when two or three of Abram's daughters meet together in one of their kitchens to intercede for friends and neighbors, or when a Christian turns in a solid day's work. What's significant is when one of Abram's sons spends 20 hours studying and agonizing over a biblical text, and then on Sunday morning stands up and preaches it to 35 people. Or when a Christian mother spanks her four-year-old for disobedience and then a few moments later takes her on her knee and prays for her. All this we infer from the special attention God's servant receives. Isn't that so encouraging? Amraphel, Kedorlaomer, and the other kings thought they were the movers and shakers of world history in their day, but Abram holds God's covenant promises in his bosom. Think about all the leaders in the world when Jesus is born. They're named in the scriptures. He goes into this, Davis does. But the Son of God simply and silently slips in, unannounced, in a stable in Bethlehem. That's God's way in this world. And God's ways are what matter. Even if it doesn't feel like it, as God's covenant people and descendants of Abram by faith, the church is the headline news story from a proper perspective. Everything else going on around us, to which, if we're honest, we devote too much time, is just background to this great drama of redemption that has played out and is playing out and into which we've been swept up. The last thing I kind of want to talk about is Hebrews 11 and Abram's war. So we've dipped often into the well of Hebrews 11 for help and understanding these stories of faith. For help in our understanding of these stories of faith. Now, Genesis 14 is one story that isn't mentioned in Hebrews 11. Or is it? The author of Hebrews doesn't come right out and talk about Abram's rescue of Lot. But toward the end of this hall of faith, I believe it's potentially hinted at. The author says he would simply run out of time if he told of every single hero of the faith and everything that they've ever done and how it was that their faith carried them through. So what he does is he lists a number of people. He says Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. And then he lists certain actions that have been done in quick succession. Enforce justice, shut the mouths of lions, quench the power of fire, escaped the sword. Now, not every one of these actions lines up with every person mentioned, like the David and Barak and Samson, Gideon. So what I think the author is doing is just throwing out a list of faithful people of the Old Testament. And by faithful, I don't mean that they always did everything right. Right? That's one of the points Chris made beautifully yesterday. I'm just meaning that at their best, in their best moments, they acted according to faith. They were full of faith. Not even all of their lives, but they were full of faith in their best moments. Faithful. He's just throwing out faithful people, and he's throwing out faithful deeds that were done. And both of these serve to bolster the unfolding argument of the fact that the people of God have always been people of faith, carried along by faith, great acts done in faith. At the beginning of verse 33, there's a phrase that makes me think it's potentially at least partially talking about Abraham's conquest in Genesis 14. And it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Well, what is Genesis 14 if not conquering kingdoms through faith? Certainly, David did the same. Certainly, Moses did the same. Certainly, Joshua did the same. Right, just think about all of these men in the Old Testament who were kings or leaders of God's people. They conquered kingdoms by faith. But before all of them conquered kingdoms by faith, Abram did it in Genesis 14. So Chris was absolutely right to point to these heroic actions being a testament of Abram's faith. They were done in faith, and they were done by faith. So let me just encourage you, go forth in the faith of your father Abram. Trust that your story matters to God because it's part of his story. whatever the news and social media would have you believe, and do all that you do by faith and in faith. Have a great week. I love you, people.